The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
For the week trending today, we've asked two people to join us from our Cork studio at the Republic of Work. We have Pat Fitzpatrick and Laura O'Mahony, who is a comedian and one third of CC Cahoots. Thank you both very much for joining us. And it's a Cork story with a bit of national interest where I want to start, Pat. It was on the front page of the Irish Examiner this morning. A Cork judge slamming what he described as growing levels of drink-fuelled and gratuitous late-night violence on our streets. What's all this about?
Yeah, this is Judge Gerald O'Brien, who was remanding a guy in custody for a single blow he gave to a guy in the Woodshed public house in Shear Street. And he made a few comments about it. Basically, he was saying, based on his current experience, that he was seeing a lot of people in front of him, that there was an increase in the level of violence and that people were drinking more. And then he kind of picked a number and he said, admitted this is not the number of the man, but he said something like, you know, you could have people with 10 points and 8 shots coming out of those places, and he's saying that something needs to be done, that this is getting worse.
Yeah, he says it's now normal to have 3 times the amount of drink than was customary 10 years ago. That seems like a fairly random thing to say. How could he know that?
And it's also possibly not true. I mean, the drinking, I actually did some research, Matt, and the drinking figures show that, like the WHO stuff, that we're slipping down the drinking charts per capita, right? It's like the Eurovision. Our glory days are gone there now, and we'd struggle to get to the Saturday night now, I think, with a drinking game with the Dutch. So we are drinking, you know, we're drinking less, but then the young people are binge drinking more. And I also, of course, they don't know that. I think people are drinking more home, people are importing drinks. So the figures are almost contradictory, but certainly we don't seem to be drinking as much. But then I think what people don't mention here is the growing levels of drug use. It's not, you
That's
know,
what
I'm
I was just about to come to.
Yeah, and it's not mentioned in this. And, you know, I've heard it. No, I'll be very wary of people who talk about growing levels of drug use. I remember being told that you couldn't go to a dinner party in Dublin during the Celtic Tiger years without being offered cocaine. Matt, I went to every dinner party. I was knocking on doors on Saturday nights getting in. No one ever offered me any cocaine. So
you're expected to bring your own, probably, Pat.
Well, I did, but they wouldn't let me in. And anecdotally, Matt, you know, you got to be wary. And I'm not suggesting people in the media are more inclined to take drugs, but you know yourself. I think that was kind of overinflated, I'd be wary. But people I know who are kind of, who'd have no reason to make this up. I know someone, for instance, who lived in South Kerry. She said she grew up in South Kerry. And so the cocaine use there was just as, it was epidemic levels. Everyone in their 20s was using it. I think that seems to be behind more of the
violence
indeed, rather than alcohol.
Well, indeed, because Laura Manny, last Friday night, I was at a function for the Peter McVerry Trust, and I was talking to Father Peter McVerry, who was sitting with, and he was very much of the view that we have a major problem with drugs now, with the likes of crack cocaine and stuff, and other things added into alcohol, which is creating a greater level perhaps of violence.
You know, hi Matt, by the way, and
hello,
I love
Laura.
You. I just thought I'd get that in there first. Do you know what it is? I was actually astounded the other day. I was listening to somebody talking about Rag Week coming up in one of the colleges, they say it was probably UCC, and they were kind of advising about drug use. They were like, you know, guys, be really sensible now with your drug use, and, you know, like, don't, you know, buy from a dodgy person and blah, blah, blah. I thought, am I after getting old or something? I'm like, I thought the line was don't take drugs. And suddenly there was this notion of, okay, guys, you know, take it handy. We all know, we all do it. And I was a bit taken aback, to be honest, Matt, because I was like, I just don't believe that should be being put out there as a message. I think the message should be don't take them. That's certainly what I'll be telling my two anyway. Don't take them.
It's an interesting point, because not everybody takes drugs. Now, I suppose maybe there is a thing that there's almost an assumption in Irish society that everybody at some stage drinks alcohol, but drugs is something different.
Matt, when I was in college, I wouldn't have had a clue where to get them. I wouldn't have had a notion where to get them. I still wouldn't have a notion where to get them. Maybe that makes
That's
me
the drugs,
innocent,
not the drink.
The drink, oh, I know where to get the drink, all right, oh yeah, I'd find that.
There's signs for that.
But seriously, I think you have to be careful of, like, spreading panic, but also spreading kind of a vague encouragement of taking drugs. I'm like, don't take them, let's be
sensible. But this case, and I don't want to get too much into the details, because sentencing has been remanded, apparently, in relation to this individual who was found guilty of an assault, a punch which left the victim 4 days in hospital as a result of concussion. He was left lying unconscious in a pool of blood. But this individual had 19 previous convictions, most of them for public order offences. So yeah, maybe he was drunk when he did this, and apparently the Gardaí had to pepper spray him in order to subdue him. But clearly, there are issues beyond the drink here.
Yeah, it's very easy to pick up on the drink and kind of run with that, especially around like the time of year that it is and Rag Week and students and the streets of Cork and all that. Like, you have to be steady at the wheel as well. There is nearly always a backstory to these situations.
There is. No, let's move on. And Laura, I'll stay with you in this. I mean, I don't know what the Lord Mayor of Cork, Mick Finn, is like when it comes to giving out a few drinks. Although recently, when I was in Cork the night, the Dr. Con Murphy night in the City Hall was open quite late for people having a few drinks afterwards. But I don't know, could he outdo the Dublin Lord Mayor, Niall Ring, who...
He's running out. He's running out of drink, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 6 months into being in office and apparently he's already used up all the free Guinness he's been given.
Oh my God, and he said something along the lines of like, he thinks he has enough until Patrick's Day. Oh God, you'll have to stock up before Patrick's Day, for the love of God, even we all know that. I know, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Like, he kind of seemed to spin it as in he's just having great crack, he's having loads of people over, they're having lots of kind of meetings and they spread on into the night and stuff, so it seems a bit extreme to be after running out. It's great for Guinness, I'd say they're delighted, and he seems to have kind of just ran with it. He's not making it a negative or anything. He's like, yeah, we're having great old crack over here. We're all having loads of drink for
fairness,
drinks.
In fairness, Pat, 120 kegs of Guinness over 6 months doesn't seem like an enormous amount. And in fairness to him as well, he's had 16,000 members of the public into the Mansion House, 8,000 at evening events. Surely that's what the Mansion House should be for, is to get people in.
Well, he does seem to be making a bit more of a party atmosphere there, definitely. I mean, he's got quite a low bar, judging by what he said. That he said that, and a quote, no one is falling out of the Mansion House down the steps into Dawson Street in front of the Lewis, knocked down by trams. So, like, if that's the point at which he'll stop, you know, I'll keep serving the drink until that happens. I think, to be honest, I think there's a weirdness, there's a puritanical element about drink in this country. The vast majority of people in this country, it's not that they can hold their drink, they can manage their drink. They know when to drink, they know what to drink, and they know when to stop. You know, if the guy is creating a bit of a kind of a party atmosphere in the place, and as he said, it doesn't seem to be any kind of, you know, public order offences or any kind of obvious examples of drunkenness, let it be, for God's sake.
He's making it accessible as well, as opposed to being a kind of a
and would he have an event for Cork people, by the way, because I don't know about Mick Finn, but I've never been invited to anything in the City Hall in Cork.
And I find that rude. I'd love to nip in, actually. Yeah. See how their Guinness is there.
That's right.
Or Murphy's, I suppose.
Laura, an interesting listener comment coming in there. You need a reality check if you think just telling your kids not to take drugs will stop them from doing it. It's important for people to know how to take drugs responsibly if they're going to do it, and learning about the immediate and long-term effects and what drugs do definitely not do, for example, heroin. Burying your head in the sand won't help.
Well, I actually would say thank you very much for that comment, listener, but I'd actually like to bury my head in the sand a little bit longer, because my smallies are only 4 and 1. So I'll pull my head out of the sand there now when they're about 10, and you might contact me again then, for your wisdom would be very valuable to me at that time. Thanks a million.
Okay, another listener says the overdrinking issue is easy. Follow other countries and make the publicans responsible for over-serving. If his pharmacist gave you 2 IADs, they'd be responsible. Drinking at a pub is a publican providing a service. Can just continue to feed people alcohol if they're already intoxicated. They can't just do so. But hold on, Pat, in relation to that, the bigger issue is probably people drinking at home, not knowing what measures that they have. You can actually be often a lot safer drinking in a pub rather than drinking at home.
Well, of course you can, and you can't stop that in the supermarket, because this person can obviously enough say, well, I'm not planning to drink all this tonight. And we've all been there in the queue in the supermarket. You can actually see people are stocking up to a fair extent, and you can actually sense it, depending on the time of day you go in, that people are probably buying that day's load at that time. If you're in a supermarket queue around 10:30, 11, you'll often see people with 2 bottles of wine. You certainly can't pin this one on the publicans. It doesn't strike me that it's in their interest to have a load of drunk people, like out of control drunk people, in their pub. You know, and again, I go back to the thing about the kind of hysteria and the puritanical thing. You know, the figures are dropping. We're consuming less. A part of that is a demographic thing, that we're getting older. So that, you know, there aren't as many 20-somethings that the glory days, as I kind of called them earlier on, like that was because of the Celtic Tiger years. We had a very, very young population who tend to go out and drink more. But we aren't drinking as much as we used to. And of course, the other thing is health-wise. You know, people are just more inclined to take care of their drink.
Yeah. Another listener says, buy drugs from reliable source, seriously, from the Kinahans or the Hutches. And that's a very good point as well, that if you're buying illegal drugs, you're deep buying from criminals who are actually creating misery as well, not just with the actual drugs that people consume, but also the violence involved in the sale and distribution. I want to talk about a big story from the United States in a moment, the Jussie Smollett story. But before we get there, just a couple of other comments. I see an addiction counsellor in Donegal for alcohol addiction, and he was telling me the majority of his clients in their 20s come into him for cocaine addiction and don't even drink, because with cocaine they don't get hangovers or nausea, etc. But one other thing, Pat, French employees are to be encouraged to work from home while on sick leave, because they're having an epidemic of absenteeism, apparently, in France. Tell us about this.
Well, this is the last time I'll be on Irish radio, Matt, because I'm moving to France. Because in France, if you work in the private sector, you take on average of 17 sick days a year. And in the public sector, you work for an average of 26, or you take 26 days sick a year, which is about the number of days teachers work in this country. Only joking, love the teachers. But this guy is now suggesting, as part of a workaround, that, you know, you don't have a binary situation where you're at home or at work, and people could actually work from home when they're sick but not that sick, and a doctor could actually make that recommendation. And I'll tell you one thing, as someone who works from home and kind of stares at the ceiling all day, that would stop people getting sick anyway. I mean, once I moved out of an office and actually started working from home, I never get sick anymore, really, unless the kids bring something back from school. I rarely get sick. The single biggest problem we have in this country is air-conditioned offices, and everybody then has 4 months of bugs from November through to February. You know, that's part of it as well. But in France, they're having to deal with it, and of course, but of course, it's not going to work because you know, you'll now have half the population put on yellow vests and say no.
Yeah, it's incredible figures, Lauren. 17 sick days a year on average for private sector workers. Civil servants who apparently can't be sacked, 26 days. You'd never get away with that in Ireland, would you?
Oh, God, you wouldn't get away with it at all. I don't think we working from home sick would fly with us either. I don't know, it's tricky for me because I feel like it's also important to, like, if I'm working, I'm a mom primarily, but if I'm working, I like to go out of the home to work. I think that's actually good for my kind of mental health and wellness and stuff or whatever. So if I was able to work from home sick, like, God almighty, I'd just be in my pyjamas with my onesie on and my slippers, and I don't think I'd get a tap done. I'd be watching Frasier. Do you know what I mean? They'd have to police it. They'd have to send that nice French man around to my house to police me.
Some of the comments coming in. Brev says, I'm parched listening to you. Definitely going for a Friday evening pint now. Another one, though, says, drink is a drug, guys. Segment about drinking to excess, and Cooper says 120 kegs in 6 months isn't bad. With 24,000 people having gone through the Mansion House, that's hardly an enormous amount. And another one, in relation to comments about discouraging drug use versus giving practical advice on how to safely take them, the latter refers to harm reduction. There is a significant healthcare literature behind this. We're going to talk now about the actor Jussie Smollett. From the Empire's programme, 20th Century Fox Television today announced it's removing his character from the final two episodes of this season of Empire after what it described as disturbing allegations that he lied about being the victim of a racist and homophobic attack. Pat, tell us what this is all about, please.
Well, the attack originally claimed that, you know, he was attacked at 2 a.m. in Chicago by a subway station by people shouting two guys pouring gasoline over him, apparently, and shouting kind of racist and homophobic slurs at him. There was a big outcry about this, to the extent that even Donald Trump tweeted and condemned the attack. Until then, the Chicago TV or police emerged and said that they have two brothers who were claiming they were paid by Smollett to actually stage this attack because he was unhappy with the pay that he was in getting on the Empire show, and he was looking for a pay rise. So that was actually his, rather than going in and making the case that maybe he might have been contributing to the show, he decided to increase his public profile. So now he's been indicted. Now he's protesting his innocence at this stage, so he's not accepting that he did. But I did read somewhere that he wrote them a cheque, unfortunately, for $3,500. So, you know, it was a good enough plan up until the point where he wrote them a cheque. But they're now completely siding with the prosecutors. They've testified in front of a grand jury to say that one of them had worked with him on the show as a stand-in, so he kind of contacted him behind that, and the Drew brothers apparently were totally put up to this so they could raise his profile. And, of course, Donald Trump, never one to be slow, completely went back on this and tweeted, what about MAGA, make America great again, and the 10 of millions of people you insulted with your racist and dangerous comments.
Yeah, it
referring
would seem
to your
Lauren,
man staging this.
He hasn't done the anti-racism campaign in the United States much good, Smollett, has he? Assuming that he is guilty, although the police do seem to have a pretty comprehensive explanation as to what happened.
I know, it makes me want to stop the world and just get off for a second because it's just insane. Also, the fact that somebody is still writing checks in this day and age is beyond me. They not have enough chip and pin that he could have tapped. I think this is a disaster for, like, it just flies in the face of, like, real, awful racist abuse and homophobic slurs that happen to real, genuine people. If this is turns out to be as we think it is, this is an appalling backstep for that and an absolutely atrocious use of his platform and of social media. And, like, if you wanted to raise, like, I've been in jobs where I wanted to raise, but, God, I never thought of staging an attack. It was fairly low down on the list. Now just suck it up and go in and ask for your raise, boy, and don't do this to yourself. It's it's crazy. It makes me sad about the world that somebody thought that this would be a good approach to life.
But as Pat mentioned though there, Laura, you know, Donald Trump was able to come out and tweet about it. As some people are pointing out, and I know you, there's not an equivalence here, but there was a story this week, a fellow called Christopher Hassan. He's a white supremacist Coast Guard lieutenant. And they found a stockpile of weapons, a list of Democratic senators that he had compiled, and of what they describe as left-leaning journalists. It's believed he was preparing for a massacre. On the search that they found on his search engine, it was all sorts of things in relation to Donald Trump, civil war if Trump is impeached, what if Trump is illegally impeached. And yet, Donald Trump and others have not been out to condemn him and what he was up to.
I know, you see, Donald shouldn't be allowed near Twitter, really, to be honest. He should be told to stop that. It's scary. The things that are emerging and the connection to Donald Trump all the time, it's a scary time. There's no doubt about it. And also the focus that this is getting, like that story that you've just said there, should also be getting a load of focus. That's the first time I heard anything about that. That should be all over the place. But it's just, Twitter and social media and the world, stop it. Take a break.
Well,
everyone
I tell
needs
you,
to have a pause.
Laura, there's another one that social media has been given out about this week, and maybe without knowing the full circumstances of the case, this little girl in Letterkenny Circle Court who was awarded €55,000 because she lost the tip of her finger and won't be able to grow her nail long. There seems to be very little sympathy for her.
Well, do you know what? When I was reading this story first, I thought to myself, initially I had that kind of scathing response going, oh, for God's sake, the top of her finger, like, get a grip. Can she still get a grip? I don't know. But I was like, this is not, if this was my little girl, you know, she's only 9 and she's probably been quite deeply affected by this. You know, she probably got a, like, she's upset and I just feel like, if that was my little girl, I think it would be justified that she would get some something.
Maybe it's the scale of it, though, Pat, €55,000. Yeah.
Well, this is the bit I can't get, Matt, because initially the girl was offered €35,000, and then her representative said that wasn't enough, and then the judge came out and said, yeah, that wasn't enough to go back again, and then the offer of €55,000 came back and he said that wasn't. And I don't understand as to how the judge could know that 55,000 is the correct amount for a 9-year-old girl to get a sore finger. You know, and I'm not trying to diminish that. As Laura said, I'd be devastated as well if my child was injured in that way. But the kind of, it does seem, I doubt there's actually a plethora of cases of 9-year-old girls getting sore fingers that you can judge that, you know, the amount. How are they arriving at these figures? As to what future, and there were aspects of her life that obviously have been afflicted by this, but like, how are they actually calculating this? And there doesn't seem to be any transparency as to how these figures are arrived at. Other than 55. It's like that this one goes up to 11.
I also think though this notion of that she can't grow her nail long, like that's an awful angle that has been put out there. Like she has actually lost the tip of her finger, so like it will actually have some, it's not that she's not going to be able to have beautiful shellac nails, like it actually is, you know, it's more than that. I think it's a bit of a kind of a attention grabbing headline to say she can't grow her nails long, but she actually has lost the tip of her finger. I'd be weeping over my child if anything like that happened to her.
And then tell us though, this is something much more lighthearted. The village in Cork, in County Cork, where apparently women have been dyeing their hair green unintentionally. Laura.
Is this in Bween or is it in Kildare? We're a bit confused here. It's the result of the water, the quality of the water. These hairdressers finally cracked it, that the reason why women that had their hair dyed blonde, like myself, is that their hair was turning green because of the water. Now, I think that they should definitely stick with it until Patrick's Day, because this could like turn Bween green. Like this is going to be brilliant for the town of Bween. But yeah, apparently
town
the water
village
is turning there.
I think it'd be
village.
Fair to call it, wouldn't it?
Maybe just a road.
I don't think they should ever fix it. For those who don't realise, Bween is about 10-15 minutes drive from Blarney Castle. Now they've got, you know, the greatest concentration of American tourists. Yeah. They've got a way of turning people's hair green automatically, and they're going to fix it, the corporation. I mean, this would be, I mean, I know it's a bit farther ahead, but this would be the greatest single tourist attraction after Blarney Castle in all of Munster.
They could do a whole kind of tour package.
Well, you'd
go to
Blarney
first,
kiss the stone and then go over there and get the green hair in Bween. I can't believe they're going to fix it. If someone in Bween needs to stand up and say, this is our golden ticket here, folks, we're going to have the coaches in here, don't fix the iron current concentration
makes us
in
unique.
The water.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Laura O'Mahony from CC Cahoots and Pat Fitzpatrick, thank you very much for joining us from the Republic of Work in Cork today.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.